Blog Talk Radio.
And the Spirit of the Lord declares that I am the God who hovered over the earth. I am the God who hovered over the face of the deep. I am the God who hovered over a place that was void and empty. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that have broken out, that have covered the earth, that have spoken, declared things, and spoke things into existence, and there it was. I am the God who did not forsake the covenant that I made with the earth before the foundation of the earth. I am God, Yahweh. I am the God that hovers over the nations, and even as I hovered over the earth in the beginning, I am hovering over the nations even now. But it is I who have declared that after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power to witness throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. And I have anointed you prophet and apostle and teacher and evangelist to be witnesses throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. So I say unto you today to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So I declare unto you today to speak, to prophesy,
you guys. You are now tuning in to Kingdom Talk, and I'm your host, Pastor Tyquasia Goss, and I'm coming to you on tonight with a very familiar story that we all have known, you know, very popular in our church, you know, our church community. We hear about it a lot, you know, in the story of David, where Samuel went to Jesse's house to go anoint David. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, because, you know, we always got to give you reference to where the word comes from. And starting at verse 7, it said, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And that is so true, because sometimes God will show us things, you know, and because, you know, we human, we will tend to look in the natural and judge a matter in that way. But God said, no, that's not actually the way that you do a thing. You know, we're not looking on a countenance. We're not looking at their stature, how they dress, how much money they have. You know, God really can care less about those things. And sometimes we will miss the blessing and we will miss the message from God or miss the prophetic word, whatever it may be that God has for us, because we are judging the person. You know, we're looking at the messenger. You know, when we say don't judge the messenger, but how many people are really judging the messenger because of their countenance? Oh, I don't agree with how they look. You know, they don't look like their church, or they don't look like a leader, and they don't look like this and X, Y, and Z. But clearly here in the word, it says to not look at the countenance, to look at the heart of a man. Now, Jesse's sons, all that Samuel had saw on that night when they had did the sacrificial feast, they looked good to the natural eye. They had great stature. You know, they was built, as the Bible described, you know, looking strong, looking like kings, looking like leaders. You know, their countenance just looked like royalty, you know, like they would fit the part. But God kept rejecting them. He said, no, I rejected them. No, I said, no, that's not who I chosen. The Lord had not chosen them. No, that's not it. So Samuel, of course, if you know the story, the backstory, you know, he like, listen, that's the sons. There's only, he like, well, do you have another? And I was one more, you know, a younger one that's out tending to the sheep. And, you know, I had to think to myself, you know, how irrelevant was David to his family that, for one, they gave him a servant's job, tending to the sheep. You know, that was something that servants did. If you had enough money, they would tend to the sheep and do, you know, the work of the home or whatever the case may be. So being that they didn't have that, he was assigned to that job. He didn't come. He wasn't at the dinner. You know, he wasn't there. He was doing what he was told to do, you know, and what he was called to do at that moment. And then they said, well, he's the youngest one. He said, Samuel said, well, go and get him. You know, call him to come. Go fetch him. And we ain't going to sit down until he comes. So Samuel, he came. Samuel took the horn and then anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, it didn't say that David became king right after, obviously. He got anointed because he was king, but he was not operating as king as of yet. And, you know, as you go deeper on, the scripture tells you that it tells you that the Spirit of the Lord had then departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him, right? And so then I got to thinking about, you know, how life is now, you know, in ministry, all different ministries, you know, how many people are operating without the Spirit of God? Because God took his spirit from Saul, but he still was king. You know, we have to pray that God, you know, whatever you do, don't take your spirit from us. We got to be humble to know that there's nothing that we're doing without God's spirit. We can't even wake up and breathe on our own without God's spirit. Nothing that we do each and every day, each and every hour, minute, second, we are not doing it on our own strength. It is by God's spirit. So we have to know that. And when God's spirit departed from Saul, that's when the troubled spirit came. That's when it came. Because once God's spirit departs from you, an evil spirit is coming. It's coming to trouble you. And Saul's servant saw that. And they told him, like, listen, evil spirit from God is troubling you. You know, it's distressing you. It's on you. Like, they saw that. And it was because God had withdrew his hand from Saul. You know, once God removed his spear, you're no longer in his protection. You're no longer being covered by God. So therefore, what's going to happen? Evil is going to come. So Satan was ready to fill that void with that spear. He was ready. He was waiting. That's why as a Christian, the continual presence of the Holy Spirit is necessary, because the Holy Ghost is a comforter. That Spirit is there so we don't have fear, because we have God with us at all times. And those God's spaces can't be filled. Once you have his Spirit there, you know, nothing else can come. You know, your house is clean and swept, and then the Spirit of the Lord is within you. So you're covered and you're protected. But when God's hand is removed, oh, you're going to be troubled. You're going to be troubled. And because Saul didn't want to submit to God, you know, kept rejecting the Holy Spirit, you know, and didn't want to be bothered, you know, felt like the Lord was bothering him. He just wanted to, you know, do his own thing. But even in that time, God would have turned it. You know, if he would have had a repentant heart, God could have restored him. You know, it was still up to him to receive God's correction, you know, and have a repentant heart and turn. But he did it. So God took his spirit, and he was troubled. And then God asked the question to me, how many people today do we see like that? You know, how many believers are looking at the countenance of a man, right? You know, looking and saying, oh, this person is X, Y, and Z because of what they look like. But never judging, do they have the heart of God? You know, are you using your discernment? Are you trying to spirit by the Spirit to see if it's of God? Are they doing the works of the Lord? You know, are they really fighting for God's kingdom? You know, and we're not talking about just being a leader, you know, no, because everybody got an obligation in the kingdom. You know, everybody does. Everybody does have a responsibility and a work to do in the kingdom. But here we're talking about Saul, who was king, where God took his spirit. So that's very similar in today. What leaders are operating in what was seen as the house of the Lord, and God's spirit is no longer there. He does not dwell there. You know, he took his spirit away because people won't hearken to the word. They won't submit to God. They won't surrender. They won't say yes. You know, and just as in the word, God would anoint another and raise up another. Just because David wasn't appointed as king right at that time didn't make him king. It just wasn't the time yet. But God would allow you to work and you be already fired. And we don't want that. We don't want to be the ones where God has taken his spirit and we still operating, but we're operating with no Holy Ghost, no fire, no anointing, nothing of God, but still working and thinking that, you know, this is all from the Lord, you know, and then certain people looking at that thing and thinking that it's God, and it's not. Just like when Samuel had to go anoint David and looking on the countenance, look at the heart of a man. You got to have the heart of God. That's what God is looking for his leaders to have his heart, you know, to be good shepherds, to love him. He said, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love me. And that's what David was doing, even though it was in the natural and was feeding sheep, but he was doing God's work. He had the heart of God. He was allowing God to prepare him. Even in the midst of tending to the sheep, God was dealing with him. You know, God was preparing him and dealing with his heart and his mind and his spirit and all those different things to be who he was called to be. So you can't despise, you know, your small beginnings where God have you, because that's ultimately preparing you. That's preparing you for greater. When you're sometime looked over, when you sometime, you know, not deemed as relevant, you know, because you don't look the part, you don't fit the part, you know. Sometimes we don't even act the part. Maybe we don't speak correctly, you know, as Moses. We don't have proper speech, or we don't have certain education. But God don't care about that. Man does. God cares about your heart. You know, I'm just looking for a willing vessel. I'm just looking for somebody that when I say go, they'll go. I'm just looking for somebody to make a stand for their faith. I'm just looking for somebody to resist the devil. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that loves me. He's not worried about all the other stuff that, you know, meets the eye. He's looking at the spirit, the heart of a man. The heart of a man. We want to be the one that God can say, okay, yes, anoint them. Anoint them because they have my heart. They're ready. We want to be like David. We want to be doing our father's business, and God sends somebody to seek for us. Seek for us, because David didn't go over there saying, hey, guys, what's going on? No. Samuel came, sent them to look for him, to send for him. That's what we want. We want to be so caught up in our father's business. And sometimes that may seem like, you know, it's just you. You know, you lowly, whatever the case may be, but you doing God's work. You're doing your father's business. And when the time is right, God will send for you. It don't matter how far off you are. It don't matter what's going on. Because, yeah, he wasn't in that moment at the dinner, and they sent for him, but guess what? He got called for something greater. He was anointed in that moment. You know, the oil was poured on him. The Spirit of God was with him. And we have to think about that. Yeah, we may not be getting invited to the dinners and the parties and the this and the that, but does that matter if all we really, really need is the Spirit of God and to be anointed by God and called by God and appointed by God? That's what should matter. That's really what it's all about. It's not really about the outer man, about what it looks, because things are not what it seems. Things are really not what it seems. That's why God said, try the spirit by the spirit to make sure it's of God. Because it could look real nice and be real rotten on the inside. Or it might not look the part of some people. You know, you might not look churchy enough. You know, you might look too rugged. That's for me. I can only speak to myself. I know it may be some people that say that about me. You know, oh, you ain't wearing no two-piece suit. You ain't got no church hat on. Oh, yeah, she don't look like she say. She don't talk like she say. She don't even wear her hair like she say. But God said I'm saved because God called me, because God filled me with his Holy Spirit. God didn't care about, you know, what I look like or what my past look like now. We're not saying the free pass to look crazy, be disrespectful, no. But we're saying, you know, when God say come as you are, you just being who you are. You being authentically you. You being genuine. You're not pretending to be somebody else. You know, if I don't, you know, like two-piece suits and hats, that shouldn't change that I am saved, that I am fire baptized, that I am filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what God is saying. But people sometimes would judge that and say that you're not. But God is looking at the heart, because there's people that do look like that and don't have the Spirit of God. It's just looking the part, but not really of the part. And that's what God is worried about. He don't want us to play a part. He wanted to be real. He wanted us to actually have the lifestyle, to actually be like him, walk like him, talk like him, act like him. He wants us to be like him. and not in outward appearance. It's what's on the inside. That's why God said you would know them by their fruits. And that's why he said you would know them by their fruits. Why? Because you're going to see how they act. They're going to be kind. They're going to show love. They're going to forgive. They're going to bless their enemies. They're going to feed the hungry. They're going to do things that show the fruit of God. You're going to know that they are part of the kingdom of God because it's going to be all through them. It's going to be a lifestyle. They're going to show it. They're going to be humble in what they're doing. They don't mind doing the work of the Father no matter what it is. Like David was tending to the sheep, you know, was seen like a low thing, you know, like he not out here doing what his brothers was doing and looking all built up and masculine. You know, he looked a little compared to them, a little fragile. But God said that's okay because he got the heart of a warrior, though. But he's a warrior, though. It don't matter what his size is. He's a warrior. He has the heart of God. That means he was strong in the spirit because with God, it don't matter what the outside is. Your inside with God, you could take on the whole world by yourself. Once you have God backing you, that is all that you need. And that's what God is saying on tonight. We're not stuck on looking at the countenance of a man. We're looking who has the spirit of God. And not because you're judging him or anything like that. It's just to know, you know, to know what you're around, to know what you're connected to know even yourself. We have to be like God. We have to. That's what we call to do. And if you don't want to be like God and don't submit and don't surrender, because some people do choose that because God gave you free will. So some people do choose that, unfortunately. But guess what? God forbid the time come when he take his spirit from you because you pushing him away. You rejecting him. You don't want to yield. You don't want to submit. And then what? Once God removed that hand and that covering and that protection, you're going to be like Saul. The enemy going to come. The enemy's going to have his way. You know, you're going to be distressed. You ain't going to have no peace. It's going to be bad for you. Then you're going to need a David. Like David had to come and come play the harp for him to give him peace, just to give him peace. Because that's what that was about. Them spirits was tearing him up. You don't want to be that because you're rejecting God, because you don't want to surrender. You don't want that. You want the Spirit of God to be with you, to be able to comfort you, to be your peace, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. And whatever we do in this world and even in the spirit realm, we need God. Anybody operating outside of that is not of God. You can't do none of it without the Holy Spirit, period. You're not prophesying without the Spirit of God. You're not doing deliverance or healings or miracles, Miracle Mondays. You're not doing any of that without the Spirit of God. And then God don't operate like that. It just happens genuinely. It just happens. God will speak to somebody because God listens to the cries of his people and his people that are praying, that are in distress. And he will begin, you know, to speak to them on whatever the matter is in their life that they need to be spoken to about. And that is that. And they get healed or they get a prophetic word that is going to speak to them to bring about change and deliverance. It's not going to be about what makes you feel good. It's never that. That's why whenever a prophet came to town, they always asked him, did you come in peace? And now today we have a whole different scenario where a prophet come and everybody pull out their pocketbooks and they start jumping and leaping for joy because, oh, I'm finna sow and I'm finna get my prophetic word. That is not how this thing goes. Because according to the word, when a true prophet came in town, people wanted to run and hide. Because they had the fear of God, because they knew that, okay, if God is sending this messenger, it must not be nothing good. Even though sometimes it was. But initially, they would think that it wasn't going to be something good. And now today, it's not that. People are not looking for God's true prophets and prophetess. They don't want to hear that. They want somebody that's going to come and say the opposite of what God said, like the word say. They want to hear that good is bad and bad is good. When clearly the word says, you know, woe unto them that are saying that God said and I never said it. No, because Samuel had that same option to do that as well, to pick one of Jesse's son that looked good and that, you know, had the structure and the countenance and say, okay, yeah, it's this one. I'm anointing this one, when God didn't say that. But he was obedient, even though he didn't understand, even though, you know, it didn't look right. He said, well, God, they look decent. I'm paraphrasing. God, they, you know, they look decent. This one looks good. You know, he's good looking. He looks strong. He looks like a leader. And God said, no, that is not the one. Next one. God said, no, that is not the one. And keep going down to the line and saying no. But he could have said that. But then that would have been him operating out of what God said. And anything outside of God's word is a lie. And that's what's going on today. God did not tell people these things. And they're operating as a Saul without God's spirit. God is not with you. God did not tell you that. God is not telling you to make people pay for healings. That is not of God on a Monday, because it's Monday. That's the only day you could get healed, when clearly that happened in the word when Jesus did a healing. And they said, oh, you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. Same thing. There's no particular day you could get a healing. So because it's Monday and I got my check today, this is the only day that I could get a healing, when I come to the front of the line with this $100 fee. No, not of God. God's spirit is not with you. God's spirit is not with you. God wants the truth to be loosed. God wants his spirit to be in his house, only his house. And if his spirit is not there, then it's not his house. And we have to go where God's spirit is. Wherever God's spirit is, no matter what it looks like, no matter who don't like it, who don't think that it's right or it's called or it's equipped or it's, you know, whatever, as long as his spirit there, that's where you go. Just like Samuel did to David, just because he didn't look right, you know, was small, looked fragile, was the youngest of them, seemed to be the least of them, and God still anointed him. God still called him, still appointed him for a time to be king. And it's the same thing now. Don't judge a book by its cover. You don't know what God is doing with people. You don't know why God have that person and what may deem, I'm not saying it is, what may deem to be a low place, but God can exalt them. God can elevate them. You don't know what God is doing, and it don't matter who God uses. As long as we hear God, we should take the heed to the message. No matter who the messenger is, let it be a burning bush. If God is speaking, we need to listen, regardless. Regardless. But I do appreciate that story. You know, read it in its entirety. And it's a good book. It's a good book because it speaks about what I feel. What I feel we're definitely dealing with right now. And that's why I love the word, because the word is always in season, never out of season. The word is always, you know, speaking to current events right now. Always. All the time. Never skips a beat. Because the people always want a certain, you know, a leader, a king. They always want that instead of, you know, just wanting God. And God say, okay, I'll give you that. And then when you get it, and then, you know, they get puffed up or whatever the case may be, whatever type of leader it is, right? And then God's spirit gets taken away from them, and you still see them operating, but where do you see God? You know, you still got to be looking and see that people really are getting healed, delivered, and set free, that people's lives are being changed. You know, that's the point of this thing, having a personal relationship with God, and also to see things change in your life. And whoever you connected to, whatever ministry, you know, you want to see change, growth, development. You want to evolve. All those good words we like to use. You want to experience all of that. You don't want to see you go somewhere and all hell break loose and your family's being divided and you finna get a divorce and you sick and you. Now, we're not saying that the enemy not going to attack you when you trying to do right, because, yes, that isn't his nature. He's going to try to make you go backwards. But what I'm saying is that we can be attacked while, you know, we are choosing to do right by God, but God is with us. You know, we're not being consumed. We're not, you know, we're winning. We're fighting this battle, and we're winning. We're getting the victory. So that is different. But when you attach yourself to people, places, or things, and you just begin to see everything crumble, you got to check that thing. You got to see, okay, where is God's spirit? Because all you got to do is, you know, tie it to the word. Like, God is love. God is peace. God is this. And see that he's all that in your life and all of that is happening in your life. If not, wherever God's spirit is not, you better run. You better run. And we spoke about that in my home church today. Even if your mommy, your daddy, your grandma, your pastor, they fall off and they leave God, you better leave them. You better stop following them if the Spirit of God is no longer with them and they're not listening to the Spirit of God, then you do not follow. You do not. Because ultimately, our first leader is God. And we're making sure whatever we're connected to is always connected to the source as well, including us. This is how we stay, you know, in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. This is how we listen and get direction and instruction. So if you're not hearkening to the voice of God and nobody's listening to God, and guess what? Somebody's still speaking though, right? But it's just not God. It'll be strange fire, false glory. It'll be strange. Familiar spirits. It's not God's spirit, though, but best to believe something is going to speak. But we got to make sure that what we are connected to, what we are listening to, is the Spirit of God. Because God's saying, half the time people are saying it's me, and it's not me. I never even spoke to them. I never even told them to do that. I never even told them to touch that. I never said to say that and say that I said, because I never said it. And God don't want us to be tricked. God don't want us to be deceived. That's why we got to have personal relationships. That's why we got to be like David, you know, in the field working and doing what God called us to do so that he can continue to cultivate us and mature us and grow us and strengthen us, you know, so that we can hear the voice of God. That's what we're doing. You know, you in a church with your leader, you know, and that is of God, a good one, you know, and you're being taught, you're being fed, you're praying, you're fasting, so you can sharpen your ear, so you can sharpen your weapon, so that when it is your time, when God appoints you, you will be ready. That's the whole purpose of it. But if that's not the case, and, you know, God is not speaking and it's another spirit, then you're going to be deceived, you're going to be tricked. And you can't grow and evolve if God is not speaking and God is not maturing you and molding you and doing all those things. You can't grow. And if you're not growing in God, and then, like I stated, it's another spirit that's speaking, guess what? Then you're growing in another spirit. You ain't growing in the Holy Ghost. You ain't growing in God. Then it's something else. And we don't want to be caught like that. We don't want to be caught without God's spirit. That's the moral of the story. We don't want God to take his spirit from us. That is it. That's what it boils down to. We want to be ready. We want to be prepared. We want to not just have the outward look, but we want to have the heart of God. We want to have the heart of God. You know, we want to do what God called us to do. And for all of us, that's not to be a king. You know, for all of us, that's not to be that. You know, whatever it might be, whether it's an usher, whether it may be a deacon, a bishop, an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, you know, whatever it is, though, but we should still be proud whatever God called us to do, a lay member, whatever, because it's all really important. You know, anything in the kingdom of God is important. Anytime you are preaching the gospel and bringing a lost soul in, you know, spreading the gospel, you know, speaking your testimony, whatever, you got to know that that's all important to God. That's all valid for the kingdom, as they would say. It's not irrelevant. It's important. You're helping build the kingdom. You're helping bring souls into the kingdom of God. You're helping lost souls find their way back home. That is important, no matter what you are called to do. That is important. And God wants us to take it all serious. You know, don't think, oh, because, well, I'm not that, so I don't have no important job, so I don't have to be a certain way. No, he's calling all of us to a standard of living, no matter what. We all got to be holy. We all got to be righteous. We all got to pray. We all got to read the word. We all got to fast. That's not just only the pastor got to do that. No, that's for everybody. That's for all of us. We think that everything is on the leader. No, we have to do our part too. You got to pray. You know, you got to cover your ministry as well. It is your ministry as well. You're a part of it. You're connected to it. If you connected to the house, you connected to the vision, then you're a part of it. So you got to be able to upkeep it through prayer and putting your hands to work it. But God just really wants us to know that we are all important in the kingdom of God. We need all five fingers to make a fist always. I've stated that before on the show because God wants us to know that. All fingers ball together to make a fist. So we need each other, no matter who you are. We all need each other in the kingdom. We all need each other to fight this good fight of faith and to make sure we're not judging by the countenance of a man, the way he looks. No, we're judging by the heart, you know, and make sure you're surrounded with people that have the heart of God, you know, that just want to see the best for God's people, that just want to help uplift God's people and see them go to the next level, because that's what it's about. We all just need to grow in God and become stronger, you know, and wiser with godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, godly wisdom that is going to keep us afloat and help us to make mature spiritual decisions, you know, because we'll have a sound mind if we're in God and we're continuously having a relationship with him as David did and praising him and worshiping him. That's how you get closer to God. That's how you get a oneness with him, by getting to know him, by seeking his face, you know, and doing whatever it is that he called you to do and being content in that, because David was out there with them sheep minding his business, and he loved his sheep. He loved his sheep. And even though to some that wasn't important, but he was out there saving them sheep from lions and bears and all types of stuff. You know what type of animals come and try to get them sheep? And he was fighting for them sheep life as well as his, because he had to risk his life for them, fighting some of those animals. So it was very important, just like you in the ministry. No, you ain't at the top or appointed the pastor or whatever, but you still got to cover. You still got to pray, and that's important. Know that everything in God is important, you know, and when God calls you, you do whatever he calls you to do, whatever he anoints you for. But whatever you do, don't operate without God's spirit, without his anointing, because we need God in everything. So you want to be filled with God's spirit. You want to have a repentant heart and repent, turn from your wicked ways so that God can fill you with his Holy Spirit so that then you could do all that he called you to do, because we can't do none of this without him. So we thank him on tonight for just loving us, for just letting us know that we are important. Even when everyone overlooks us, God still sees us, and he will call us out to come for a time such as now. And people don't think we should be, or we don't look right, we fragile, we small, we too ghetto, or, you know, whatever they may say. You know how people talk, but God don't see that. God sees our heart. He sees that we love him and we're willing to do whatever he called us to do, and that's what he wants. So just keep loving God, keep staying focused, keep fighting, keep praying and fasting, and be steadfast and unmovable. Ask God to give you hind feet. Don't be moved. It don't matter what people think you shouldn't be. What matters is what God said you are, who he said you are. Be sure in your spiritual identity. Don't let anyone or the enemy confuse you. Know who you are. You are part of a royal priesthood. Don't let nobody tell you anything other than that. You belong to God, the Most High God, and he loves you and he wants you to have better. To have better. Yeah, David was tending to them sheep, but then he became king at a later time. So just trust the process. Go through whatever God has you going through right now. Be content in it. Just praise him and worship him through, and God will do the rest. Thank you for tuning in on tonight to NDO Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm your host, Pastor Tyquasia Gauz. And thank you guys for listening. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed night.